the first step. Says we probably don't think about it that much, but for the most of us, one thing that brings us to church on Sunday is the fact that we were baptized. Some of us were baptized without being given any choice in the matter. Cries at the baptismal font are not interpreted theologically. I've only baptized one child that had an absolute coronary, bless her heart. She just about turned inside out. Everybody else from that point on, though, they either smile, they'll laugh at you. Sometimes when you ask a question, sometimes when they're learning and grunting and all, they'll go, uh-huh, yes. I mean, they'll say that, they'll answer you back. But they didn't have a choice in it. Their parents chose that for them. But some of us were baptized because we turned 10 years old and decided that we were sick and tired of not getting to drink that little cup of juice and that little chiclet. Eat it. Some of us were in a worship service somewhere down the road where the minister's words made us cry, and he invited us to be baptized. Some of us have never been baptized because we've never seen any reason why we should be. Some of us haven't been baptized, but we've had to work hard to avoid seriously considering it. You see, it's good that we learn the meaning of our baptisms after the fact. None of us fully knew what we were doing on the day that we were baptized. Years later, as we make our way slowly into faith, the purpose begins to unfold itself. We discover that our baptisms mean after the event rather than before. That's how it was for Jesus too, at least in Matthew's gospel. You know, I remember for myself, my conversion happened at home, out in the yard. And I've told you that story. It was a very Samuel-like experience when I heard my voice and I knew somebody had called me, and I went and I asked my mom, and she said, "I haven't called you," and I talked to my sisters, and they, of course, thought I was a little weird. And no one's called you, but, you know, I knew it had happened. It happened for me, but I was a seven-year-old kid, and I knew something changed in my life. I didn't know what it was. I didn't understand it all, but I knew something was different, and I worried my poor old preacher about half to death, Mr. John Glenn, Preacher John Glenn. He's gone on to glory now, he and Miss Ruth, and just wonderful, wonderful people. And he tried to answer all my questions. I was a seven-year-old. And when I was nine, I was baptized. I went down front, and I remember taking the preacher's hand, and I remember talking to him, and it was that same preacher. It was Reverend Glenn. And he was just a wonderful man, and he listened, he'd done. And I remember being baptized. I remember wearing that white gown. We had little robes back then where I came from. At our church, you wore a little white baptismal robe. And when you went into the water, and you went down into it, I remember that. I remember getting wet all over. I remember a little bit being terrified about what it would be like to be dunked. And he talked us all through it, how to hold your hands and how to do this and how to bend and how to come back up. And I remember all those things happening. And I remember it being a wonderful time. And I remember, you know, your parents are very happy. Everybody's happy. But you don't really understand it all. And even today you still don't, because it's your relationship, it's your growth, it's what happens. It's what happens. It's just like when we baptize babies. We ask God's grace and mercy to be upon them, to hold them and to touch them. And us as a church and a community and a congregation to begin to pray for them and to love them and to nurture them and to help them to grow up in the faith. Like these children that came and sat down this morning. I can look at all of them except for maybe one or two, and I know that I've baptized them. And that's a wonderful thing, to know that and to see that and to watch them grow. To have held them when they were babies and to see them, or when they could stand. And to know that you are loving them and caring for them and praying for them. Because it is you're responsible as a church. I mean, they're it. They're not our future, they're our now. They're it. They're growing along with us and we're teaching them. And they listen to us and they hear us. They know what we're doing. We have to be those good examples, but we don't quite understand it all. See, Matthew's gospel, in his story, it skips from Jesus as an infant to Jesus as 30 years old, and we don't have a clue as to what happened in between that time. One day Jesus puts down his hammer, takes off his tool belt, hangs a clothes sign on his door at the carpenter shop, and he asks, "What does God want of me? What does my Father, God, want of me?" And Jesus heads south. That right there tells us he's a country boy. He heads south and he finds his cousin John standing in the muddy Jordan River in his camel hair baptismal robe, smelling of locust and honey. Jesus gets in line and he waits his turn. He wades out into the water right next to the real live sinners, just like you and me. Those sinners that are standing there. While three Gospels tell the story of Jesus' baptism, only Matthew records the curious conversation before the baptism. Jesus is eager to be baptized, but John hesitates. They stand hip deep in the river and they engage in a fervent theological debate concerning who should baptize whom. And the first time that Jesus speaks in Matthew's Gospel, it is to say that he needs to be baptized because baptism will help him learn who he's meant to be. Jesus leans back into the water because he believes that God is calling him to a different kind of life. When Jesus stands up, the waters of the Jordan dripping down his face, he sees the Spirit descending like a dove to rest upon his soggy head. The Spirit comes, not as an all-consuming fire of judgment, but with the flutter of hopeful wings as the dove descends. And a voice says, "You are my child. I love you. I'm delighted with you." Then Jesus goes into the desert for 40 days to think about what it means to be God's child. You see, Jesus spends all the days and years that follow that afternoon in the Jordan discovering the meaning of his baptism. And we all do. We all spend the rest of our life discovering what our baptism means. Jesus gives everything, his dreams, his deeds, his labors, and his life itself. Jesus gives himself to God's people, takes his place with hurting people. You see, baptism was Jesus' commissioning to the ministry. During the week before his death, the leaders of the temple challenged Jesus in Matthew's Gospel, the 21st chapter, verse 23, "By all authority are you doing these things?" By what authority, they say, are you doing these things? And you know what? Jesus answers them with the reference to his baptism. "Was the baptism of John from heaven or not?" he asked. "I was baptized. That's why I do the things I do." In the waters of baptism, Jesus heard the Spirit calling him to speak the truth and to live with grace. You see, so Jesus doesn't die of old age. He dies because he takes his baptism seriously. When Jesus cries out on the cross, "It is finished," it is his baptism that is complete. When we are able to say, "It is finished," when we have lived a good and productive and long life, whether it be 30 years, 33 years, 25 years, 100, whatever, when we can say, "It is finished," our baptism is complete. Baptisms, like most beginnings, find meaning long after the event. Beginning is often easy, while finishing is often hard. You see, the significance of any decision takes a while to emerge. Moments of initiation are meaningless until we are true to the promise of that beginning. We're handed a map. But then you and I have to take a trip. It takes our whole lives to finish this journey that we are on, that we begin when we are baptized. So what does it mean to live out our baptisms? If we are true to our baptisms, we cannot make ourselves comfortable. Cannot do only what will be appreciated, and cannot be satisfied with the way things are. You know why? Because there's something about us that's different There's something about us that wants to stand up for those who are not being treated right, for those things that are not being taken care of. It's like standing up and saying, you know, we need to get out there and pick up the trash. We need to do something because this is God's earth. This is God's creation. And are we taking care of it? We might didn't throw the piece of garbage out, but it is our responsibility to pick it up. The wind yesterday blew a lot of limbs and trees and everything else down and took out a lot of people's power. It blowed our trash cans into the field. And one of our youth went and got them out this morning and put them back out there beside the road because there was two big blue things laying out there in the middle of the field. There's limbs everywhere. There's things. That child didn't put them out there, but she picked them up. See, there's things like that that we need to do. We have to. We can't be satisfied with the way things are. When we see somebody doing something they shouldn't be doing, we need to stand in and help them. We need to not to hurt them, but help them. You see, our baptisms demand that we struggle with what's right and what's wrong, what's important and what's not. Like Miss Vicki said this morning, hear, see, and speak no evil. Think about that. It's to struggle with what's right and what's wrong, what's important and what's not. Sometimes we make the most little insignificant thing the most important thing in our life. We just blow it all out of proportion. Make a mountain out of a molehill. How many times have you heard that in your life? Give somebody an inch, they'll take a mile. I mean, people just got all these things. Well, you know, there's a lot of truth in those things. And it's what we choose to do that makes all the difference. It says, the children of God tell the truth in a world that lies, gives in a world that takes, love in a world that lusts, makes peace in a world that fights, serve in a world that wants to be served, pray in a world that waits to be entertained, and takes chances in a world that worships safety. You see, all those things a Christian is. Children of God are givers, lovers, makers of peace, servers, people that pray. They're prayer warriors. They take chances when others want to worship safely in this world. See, the baptized are citizens of an eccentric community where financial success is not the goal. Security is not the highest good, and sacrifice is a daily event. To sacrifice, to take up your cross daily and follow Him. To take up your cross daily and follow Him. I was asked a question this past week. I had the opportunity to have a meeting with my district superintendent. And he's a wonderful man. He's a good, godly man. And I really like him a lot. He's one of the better ones that I've ever had in my life. And he's one of those people that doesn't focus on negative things. He wants to know what's happening good in your life. He wants to know what you're doing for yourself to take care of yourself. He wants to know how your church is doing. What are some of the missions and ministries and things they're doing that is growing the kingdom? Because so many times when churches go to talk to DSs or pastors go to talk to DSs or there's a meeting converging, you know what? Usually there's a problem. Something's wrong. Something's not right. Somebody's not happy. Imagine somebody not being happy in church. Strange thing happening. But it happens. But this time it was so different. It was a turnaround. It was like, what are you doing? What's something good that's going on? Tell me about what you do. Tell me about something wonderful that's happening in your life. Those type things are good things. Whenever you can sit down and just talk to someone and share a ministry, a mission, an outlook, an outreach, and say, you know, this is good. These are good things. This is what's going on. You see, because we're an eccentric community, we're an eclectic group of people, and that's who the children of God are. We sacrifice daily for the Lord. I was also asked this week why I do what I do. I said, what do you mean? He says, why are you a preacher? Why are you a pastor? I said, because each and every day, God calls me. If God didn't call me each and every morning, I grant you I would not be here. Because He has to call us. He calls us as Christians each and every day. And I'm no different than you in that. Each and every one of us that are called children of God, He calls us each and every day to the things of this world, to the way we live our life, to the way we share our story, to the example that we are. You see, baptism in this world that we live in is our ordination to ministry. It's your ordination to ministry because we are all ministers together. It is our vow to live with more concern for the hurting than for our own comfort. It is our promise to take issue with ideas with which everyone else agrees. Sometimes to be the one that says, you know, just because everybody else is running over there, does that mean we have to go? Is that the right place to go? Sometimes it's hard to stand up against the majority and be the minority. You see, baptism is the commitment to share our time with the poor and listen to the lonely. And you know they're not far away. Some of them might be sitting on the pew with you this morning or right in front of you, right behind you. They might live next door. They might live across the street. What did it mean when you were baptized? You see, the meaning of your baptism is seen in what you think, what you feel, and what you do this very day. Have you done anything today that you wouldn't have done if you had not been baptized? You see, we are forever in our life answering that question. Why was I baptized? Have you taken that first step? Have you walked across the aisle? Have you walked across the room? Have you walked across the street to meet your neighbor? Do you know who they are? Have you journeyed for the Lord today? Let us pray. Oh, great and mighty God, what an honor it is this day to be in this place. Lord, we thank You for Your gifts. We thank You for Your life. We thank You, Lord, for our baptisms, for being able, Lord, to stand up, to step out on faith, to be able to go and to be able to do. Lord, remind us of that this day. Each and every day this week, of who we are and what our baptism means to us. It's by knowing You, and it's that relationship of growing and knowing and doing and being. John Wesley says that baptism is a means of grace. It's a means of grace by which we are called to be nurtured and loved and accepted. So, Lord, as we're on this journey, allow us to grow in grace and peace and mercy. Allow us, Lord, to be there. Allow us to stand in the gap. Allow us to be the one that makes a difference. Allow us Your love and Your mercy for this day. For it's in Your name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision this morning is hymn number 73. Oh, worship the King. It's one we don't sing that often. I think we should sing it more often. Oh, worship the King, all glorious above. Stand as we sing, and sing it like you mean it. If you don't know it, you know the tune, sing the words.